Hey, you know, everyone's got their own style.
You go fast.
Is this on?
Marv, I thought I'd have you just sign three of these for three official, but if anyone else wants their signed, we can make them officials if you sign them, you know, because I signed.
Okay.
We need three, at least three. Oh, we need someone to send an official copy.
You know what I'm going to do with my sticker next time? I'm going to actually take it, because I didn't take it this time, and I'm going to stick it on my doorknob, or my doorbell.
Oh, good idea.
Because I cannot stand that.
Got your hair cut. Really pretty on you, buddy.
Thank you, Supervisor Livermore. You're so kind. Gosh, you're such a gentleman.
I do that all the time now. I know how to...
You know how to schmooze, huh?
Yeah.
I guess it's shall we get this over with, Alan? Or you got... Oh, no, have I signed everything necessary?
I believe so.
All right.
Are you going to pray and pledge?
We don't even know the fuck. Yeah, we're going to do this. Board of Supervisors will now convene. Would you take the roll, Alan?
Oh, I guess. Hang on. I guess I have my other seat
here. Supervisor Williamson. Here. Supervisor Aldean. Here. Supervisor Livermore.
Here.
Supervisor Staub. Absent. Mayor Texera.
Here.
You have a quorum present, Mr. Mayor.
Shelly wants to give up.
Any public comments? Seeing none, okay, you're up, Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Board of Supervisors. It is the time and place for the Board of Supervisors to canvass the vote for the 2008 general election. There's a sheet in there that shows you the number of signatures obtained and the number of votes cast. On election day, we had 6,878 people vote. We had six people who failed to sign the roster poll book, but under the new statute, you simply report that. We know who most of those are. They were marked. They just failed to sign, and we did give them voting credit. Early voting, we had 14,615. Of those, we had what we call five fleeing voters. Those are people who used their card, signed in, but failed to cast a ballot in there or do anything with it. And absentees, pardon?
How do they do that? They sign in?
They take their card and they don't stick it all the way in to activate the machine. Basically, they get embarrassed or whatever and leave without ever actually activating the voting machine. So we try and watch for that.
Do you know who they are?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
That's the one we don't know who they are. And we had 2,253 absentee voters. We had, Sue, how many, 30-some provisional voters? About 30 people voted provisional ballot. Of those, we discovered that one was eligible to be counted and the rest of them were not. Unfortunately, I do need to report that we did have one person who voted twice in the election. She voted on early voting and then again on election day. I have filled out the paperwork at the sheriff's office this morning to start an investigation into this lady, so I'll report back and through the press when we find out.
You have to sign in and get a ballot.
And what happened, she came in and early voted, signed the early roster, came in late on election day, and she was not in the poll book, and the person that she was with brought her over. They couldn't find her in the poll book. They looked in the absentee and early voting and didn't discover she had her form, I understand, with her. So they issued her a certificate of error and allowed her to vote. It was, we should not have allowed that to happen, but we did. But it's a Class D felony to vote in an election twice or attempt to vote in an election twice. So I'm hoping the sheriff's office will investigate that.
You've been doing this a long time, Alan. Has this ever happened before?
Yes. A few years ago, we had a gentleman who early voted, and he came in and voted on election day. And in those days, all the names were in the roster poll book, and in nice big letters, it had early voting printed right across the signature line. Election worker let him sign right over it. And so that person voted twice, but the district attorney decided not to do anything with that case.
But anyway. Did it tend to be elderly people? Or?
The lady that voted twice, I believe, was age 76. The gentleman of 4 years or so ago was not, but he had limited English, and I think that was the reason he didn't understand what he was doing. So, and then, you know, so again, we'll investigate and see what the facts are,
and then moved it to Chicago.
Take appropriate action. So. But it was excellent turnout, 91.4%, highest Carson has ever had that we know of. Early voting was 56.23%, highest we've ever had. Election day was 26.49%, and absentee turnout was 8.67, which is down a little over 1% from 2 years ago. So people chose to vote early, and it seemed to have paid off as a campaign strategy in there. I'd like to also take the opportunity, because Sue Merriweather is with us, who's the chief election deputy, who did an excellent job. It was a really brutal election period in the 2 weeks of early voting. One day we did 1,400 people. Normally we do 400 or 500. We were running over 1,100 a day, every wow. day. But longest wait in line really wasn't all that long, and we did get compliments from the poll watchers who were with us and thought we really did the best job in the state of Nevada, and I think we did too. We really processed a lot of people. It went well. A few minor errors in there that happened, but they happen in every election. So we can't give you a perfect election. We can give you a pretty good one, but we can't give you a perfect one.
Well, your reputation precede you, Alan. You've been through the years the shining star of all the clerks in this state.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. You have been, you know, and it makes this community look very good. I actually received absolutely zero. I don't know about the rest of the board. Any complaints about voting ever come to you? And usually, Alan, in the 12 years, I usually get at least one or two or three sometimes. But nothing this year. Amazing.
How did the Fuji Park location work out for you?
You know, I was a little concerned about that during early voting because as they came in, people who were to vote at Fuji had in red letters, your polling places change. I saw a lot of those. Said, boy, this is not going to be very popular. But Sue worked out there, and we had a really good turnout at Fuji. For our purposes, it's a great location. It's a good building. The heat, the air conditioning is good. It's got a kitchen. You can control the access. Parking was really good. Everything except the bear that showed up the day before and kind of got everyone concerned.
Did he vote?
We're investigating his voting status right at the moment.
By the way, let the record reflect that Supervisor Stott is here.
But no, it turned out to be pretty good. It was a little more popular than I thought it was going to be because a lot of people did complain that it was a long way out. But we had two things, early voting, and then Jack offered free rides out there. I don't know if anyone took advantage of that. But I would suspect that we will probably stick with that site for at least one more election, and then, again, maybe look at the Boys and Girls Club location, you know, in the future to see how that goes. But we've got to go through redistricting and a whole bunch of things that will happen after the census is taken, and that's always a good time to evaluate polling locations and you know, precincts and all of that sort of thing. But I'd also like to thank Sue's right-hand people, Sylvia Yoshimoto and Beth Phelps, for the great job they did. They put in a lot of long hours in there, but our hourly staff that comes in and fills in during early voting was great. Parks and Rec couldn't have been any better. They were super in helping us set up and tear down the polls.
I was a little concerned when I saw Brian Roger was in charge of setting up the booths. My next question was, do we have any equipment failure?
I think we only had... We had one machine that didn't work too well, but we found out it might be the Verivote paper rolls that we used. To try and keep the cost down of election, we bought less expensive Verivote paper than we normally do. We're not going to do that again, and it wasn't a serious. Yeah, the whole state used this stuff, but it just wasn't the best. We'll go back to Sequoia on that. But truly, everything, it really was a good election. For as hard as it was, it really came off well. And to come down with, balancing the way we did is just phenomenal. Yeah.
You said 91?
It was 91.4% turnout.
You were the highest in the state?
Yes, which we've never been before. Usually Douglas or Eureka counties ahead of us.
Our votes were counted by what time?
I think we were done like at 9:30 or something like that. It took a little longer because we were still entering some stuff in that had come along, but they had returned the cartridges to us in there. But yeah, for a general election presidential year, no problems in the state. And again, if we were to have a challenge, I think the state would be in very good shape to handle it too.
Are there any all the elections statewide are all done, correct? There's no recounts or anything like that going on? Do you know
the only one that I am aware of is a city council race in Fernley that there may be a recount in, and that's a city issue, and I think there was only 3 votes there. And I do not know of any others. Clark normally gets a couple, but I haven't talked to them. But there's no statewide races being recounted.
Right. Any comments by the board? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Sure, I'll do it. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the canvass of the vote as presented by the clerk recorder.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. Any comments on the question? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Entertain an action to adjourn. I have a motion. Second. We're out of here.
Thank you.
You want to chat? You want to chat? Okay.
I'll meet you out at, I got the agenda. It's on the peak hour trip.
Boy, I got some, as Shelly knows, I got some of those.
First I said, where is this 24-page report you're referring to, so I can read it myself.
Right, yeah.
Well, I did find it on the internet. So. Huh. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
The redevelopment. Yeah, they had all kinds of problems with that.
Yeah. That's what I was talking to Shelley this afternoon about, because I've been getting phone calls from older folks who have a little more time to dig into that, and I had no idea what they were talking about.
I saw that the great Michael Hall is standing at the public trough hoping to get a free plot of land.
Yeah.
I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. The day is Wednesday, November 12th, 2008 at 5:30 in the Sierra Room at the Community Center. Kathy, will you please call the roll?
Chairperson Albee.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Carpenter.
Present.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Commissioner Hastings.
Here.
Commissioner Staub.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, approval of minutes. There are two sets of minutes in your packet, one from October 8th and one from October 30th. Any comments, corrections, revisions? I have, Kathy, a couple. Not unexpectedly. On page 3 under item G1, midway, it was actually the fourth line from the top of that paragraph. I think it's imminent with an I as opposed to eminent in development. If you see that.
Yeah.
Abandoning without imminent development. Okay. Backtracking to the previous page under item F1, the third line from the bottom of that paragraph, beginning noted the list of streets related to the change order, which was included in the agenda materials. And then moving on to page 5, item G3, would be the fourth line from the bottom of that page, beginning local, state, and federal funding. I think what we meant to say on freeway landscaping, we're talking about the $2 million in local, state, and federal funding that's been cobbled together for the freeway landscaping program, as opposed to the interchange project, which was the subject of another request for funding. Okay? All right, great. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve. Richard?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes of October 8, 2008 and October 30, 2008 with the amendments noted.
Thank you. Second, any comments on the question? Any comments from the audience? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Any modifications to the agenda? Patrick?
Nope.
Okay, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the commission, but not on items agendized for this meeting. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please see me after the meeting. I'll be more than happy to agendize it for a future meeting. Are there any comments by members of the public? I see our two public members of the public sitting in the back row.
And they are both MV employees.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Our operations manager and general manager.
Okay.
From right to left.
All right.
We will pay people to come to the meeting.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, welcome, right? I hope. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Why else would you come? Okay. That's right. Seeing no public comment, we'll move on to the next item, disclosures. Does any member of the commission wish to make a disclosure? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Would any member of the public, of which we have none, or any member of the commission like to have any consent calendar item removed and heard separately? All right. I guess, actually, I'm going to remove F1. I've got a couple of questions. So we have two items remaining on the consent calendar, F2 and F3. Would someone like to make a motion to approve? Don't all jump up at once.
Madam Chair, I move to approve items F2 and F3 as agendized and notice the public on the consent agenda.
Thank you. I actually did have a comment on F2, so this is a time for me to make it, and I apologize. I was going to call Dan, but Dan is not here, so Keith, you're going to have to do. This is the agreement to provide matching funds. It's under item F2, or Patrick, maybe you can convey this to Dan. This is a two-year commitment to help fund new staff positions at the TTD. In the agreement under Section 2, Paragraph D, it says that the agreement shall commence upon the execution date noted below. There are no date lines adjacent to the signature lines, so we need to add those.
Okay. Understood, and the TTD will be acting on this 2 days from today.
Okay, great. All right. All right, with that one amendment, we have a motion to approve items F2 and F3, and we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. F1, I just had a quick question. I'm assuming, I mean, this is kind of a boilerplate NDOT document.
That is correct.
We're not anticipating any complications related to environmental requirements through NEPA, right?
No, we're not. In fact, there are only complication that we had was right-of-way related, which is almost resolved. Just a matter of getting the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
Okay, and we're also not expecting, I know in the stewardship agreement in connection with the landscaping project, because we have, there's kind of a this nebulous concept of reimbursing the NDOT for department costs, project costs, and in the enhancement or in the stewardship agreement, we had a not-to-exceed amount. That language appears throughout the document. Are we expecting any unusual costs to be billed by NDOT on this project?
No. I can't think of anything that would be out of the ordinary. Do you, Harvey? No, this is just on Fifth Street and on Gonide Road. And like I said, the big hang-up that we had that took us this long to get here was right-of-way, and now we've resolved that.
Okay, and I noticed, has East Fifth Street not been turned over to the city? And we passed a resolution, I think, back in July, agreeing to take East Fifth.
Save the road from not Hells Valley, Carson Rivers Road. We didn't get that yet.
We haven't gotten that yet. Okay, so that's why we're having to comply, construct the street improvements in accordance with their standards.
Oh,
okay.
Shortly, we still got one more resolution to do to enact the Carson River Road and the little piece of Fifth Street that's east of the roundabout.
Okay. So. All right, but it's still in their domain, so we have to comply with their requirements. Okay.
Yep.
That's it. Would someone like to make a motion to approve item F1? Thank you, Russ.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the proposed cooperative agreement between the City of Carson City and Nevada Department of Transportation to obligate federal transportation enhancement funds for improvements to sections of East Fifth Street and Gonai Road in Carson City.
Second.
The fiscal impact not to exceed $714,400 to be reimbursed through federal enhancements funds and $37,600 from the Carson City RTC for a required local match for a total of $752,000.
Great, thank you. Any comments on the question? Any comments by members of the audience? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Moving on to item G1, action to approve the proposed business plan to provide bus service between Carson City and South Lake Tahoe. Keith.
Hello. Keith Pearson, Transit Coordinator, Carson City Public Works. At the RTC's request, Carson City staff has worked with STATA to draft a business plan that will provide service from downtown Carson City to South Lake Tahoe. The business plan discusses the roles of the two agencies, the proposed funding, the proposed hours of service, the proposed bus stop locations, and the fare structure. The RTC will have a supporting role in the service, and STATA will be the operator. And if everything is approved, then they anticipate to start the service on November 23rd. And I will entertain any questions the board has. We also have John Ando here with us today from STATA.
Good evening, John.
And he can also answer any questions you guys might have.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions by members of the commission? Yes, Charles.
Keith, this is kind of small, but in one place the service hours ended at 10:30 on one document and 10:40 on this, 7:30 on another document, 7:40 is just 10 minutes, but I think we should be consistent whichever way it is.
Okay.
I think it's the difference between the business plan and the actual cooperative agreement.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And one other item, is the fiscal year accurate? Let's see, I've got to find my own notes here. On section 2, first paragraph, it says this fiscal year 08-09.
Yes, that is correct.
Begins November 23rd.
Okay.
My son's birthday.
So. All right.
Very auspicious day. Okay. well, he's not a turkey. What are you implying? My son's a turkey? Okay. Any comments by members of the audience, John? Would you like to make a statement for the record? So you can get some camera time.
Yeah,
as our mayor
drove all the way over here.
The guy's probably barely awake with all the changes he's doing right now up the lake.
Sure. Welcome, John.
Thank you. John Ando, Blue Go Transit Administrator for South Tahoe Area Transit Authority. And we're pleased to be working with the Carson City RTC in the implementation of the service. We believe that it's going to benefit your residents as well as our residents as it relates to facilitating an unmet transit need that has been around for several years. So we're definitely pleased and hope that this is approved, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
Terrific. And there's no transfer charge, right?
No transfer charge.
No transfer charge. Okay. All right. Terrific.
It's going to be similar to what we have with the Washoe RTC intercity service. If you pay to get a dollar, for example, to get onto a Jack bus, mm-hmm. then you will get a, with a transfer, you get a discounted rate to get on the Spooner Express service. If you're getting off of the Spooner Express service, which has a higher fare, you'll get onto a Jack bus for free.
Oh, terrific.
One thing that you also had is that we're branding the service as a Blue Go and Jack bus route. So,
that's right. You'll have our
our logo
Jackrabbit
and
will be on the side of your bus.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, we'll have
blue bus.
It's a blue bus, but we have decals that are about yay big that have the Jack logo on it and phone number and website too, right? Yeah, website
great,
as well.
Great.
And we'll
terrific.
Be making sure.
Anything about Carson City?
No, only about Jack as the branded transit service.
Would you like something like a service of the Carson City RTC on there as well?
That would be beautiful.
You know, I think Russ has a point, because yeah. if you don't live in Carson City, you don't know what Jack stands for. And
you don't know Jack.
You don't know Jack. That's right. You don't know Jack, literally.
How about we'll put the service of Carson City RTC underneath what we already... We'll still have our website on there and our phone number, but we'll add that to the bottom. Yeah.
That would be great.
Thank you.
Okay.
And all of our marketing materials will reference for this route, Blue Go and Jack, and that it's a partnership between the Transit Authority and the Carson City RTC.
Terrific. That's great. Okay, John, thank you. Any questions for John before we let him go? Okay. Any comments from members of the public? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would somebody like to make a motion? Charles.
I move to approve the proposed business plan to provide bus service between Carson City and South Lake Tahoe.
Fiscal impact?
And the fiscal impact, $100,000 each year of federal funding for 2 years.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Next item, action to authorize the Regional Transportation Commission Chair to sign the authorizing resolution to enter into an agreement with South Lake Tahoe Area Transit Authority to provide bus service between Carson and South Lake Tahoe. Keith
Pearson, Transit Coordinator, Carson City Public Works. Once again, at the request of the RTC, staff worked with STATA to draft a business plan, an interlocal agreement that will provide service from downtown Carson City to South Lake Tahoe. The agreement is for a two-year period commencing on the first day of service, in which the RTC will provide federal funding not to exceed $100,000 per year. RTC will have a supporting role in the service, and STATA will be the operator. Service is anticipated once again to start on November 23rd. If you guys have any questions, I'll be more than happy to entertain.
Any questions for Keith? Keith, I had a question on the top of page 3. I think that's where Charles was referring to the slight difference in times. So you might want to look at that as opposed to 10:40, which appears in the business plan. It's 10:30 and 7:30 instead of 7:40. Also, in the business plan, it indicates that this will be a 7-day-a-week service. But here it indicates that the bus service will operate between 5 to 7 days a week.
Yes. These are just proposed at this point.
Okay.
There is some flexibility to provide for scheduling.
Okay, but the business plan, I mean, all of your projections are built on the assumption that it's a 7-day-a-week service, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So if you'd like, I will change that to 7 days in the agreement as well. Or?
Okay, well, I want to give you some flexibility. If that's the reason you built in, the 5 to 7 days. Then
yeah. Would you like me to make that change to the plan then,
5 to 7 days?
Well, that's the way it reads currently. Oh, you mean in the business plan?
Yeah.
I would like to make the two consistent. I think it's important that they be consistent.
Yes.
5 to 7 days.
5 to 7 days would be a 3-day spread there, so you'd have to come up with figures for all 3 days.
No problem.
And then on page 5, under long-term continuation of service, it says the Board of Directors of STATA and RTC will jointly agree to continue or to discontinue the service. I can understand jointly agreeing to continue the service, but if one party wants to continue the service, the other wants to discontinue the service, we have a bit of an impasse. And there is a termination provision, but that really relates to non-appropriation, that relates to one of the parties not living up to their commitments under the agreement. And I'm just wondering if we should state, this is for a two-year term, by
yeah,
mutual...
That's mutual consent to terminate upon 30 days written notice here and the termination.
I'm just concerned that if one party, even if everybody's complied with the requirements of the contract, but one party decides for whatever reason that they don't want to continue the service, they don't have the option under this agreement based on the wording. It has to be mutual.
Okay.
And I just think that both parties need that flexibility. So okay. I think I would just take out or to discontinue.
Okay. And then also, would you like me to change it under the termination that you, either party can terminate?
Yes, please, as opposed to being mutual.
Yeah, rather than mutual.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. Okay, that's it for me. All right, we'll open it up to questions from our audience. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission. Does any commissioner have a question or would like to make a motion? Russ.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. Based on item G1, I move to authorize the Regional Transportation Commission Chair to sign the authorizing resolution to enter into an agreement as amended with South Tahoe Area Transit Authority to provide bus service between Carson City and South Lake Tahoe, and the fiscal impact will be $100,000 each year of federal funding for 2 years, so no fiscal impact.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second, sir.
I have a comment on the question. I forgot one thing. I apologize, Keith. The top of page 2, under the now, therefore, in consideration of the, I think you meant to say promises rather than premises.
What should it be?
Promises.
Promises?
In consideration of the promises and of the mutual covenants. Okay.
No problem.
There you did. Hey, you didn't act fast enough, Charles. Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank
great.
You, Keith.
Thank you.
John, did you want to make a comment now that it's all over? You need to come to the mic.
We have the same contractor as you now that would be operating the service. We are getting ready to go out. Actually, the RFP will be released later on this evening when I get back to my office.
Okay.
For the formal 3-year plus 2 1-year options. But for the interim, we are using the same contractor that you are using, MV Transportation.
Terrific. And I gather, and I apologize for not bringing you up to the mic earlier, did you have any problems with any of the suggested revisions to the agreement?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense.
All right. Thanks very much.
Sure.
All righty. Moving on to the next item, item G3, Transit Fund Year-End Financials. Andy?
Okay. I'm going to try to tackle this one, but Keith will stay in the room for when I call his name out. this all boils down to one sheet here. I know the last meeting, I believe it was, we had prepared and presented to you the year-end financials for both the RTC and Streets Funds. And I want to do the same thing for the Transit Fund. Now, this was kind of monumental for us because this was the most comprehensive transit budget we've done before, and it's in its own separate fund. And while we have a couple of kinks to work out, overall, I think we did quite well. As you can see, our revenues came in slightly higher than expected. Our fare box was higher. We got more federal funds. We got less FTA capital, but that's just as a measure of how much we spent. We got $350,000 last year from the general fund, which you'll note for next year is only $300,000. Or excuse me, what is now the current fiscal year is $300,000. Last fiscal year we got $350,000, and we got some interest off of our carryover balance.
What have you been investing in?
Hey, don't look at me.
I'd like to know.
His name is Nick. He's over at the financial office. And I'll let him keep doing what he's doing. Oh, it's Al. That's right, it's Al, not Nick. But whatever. We'll take what we can get. So as you can see, we did well on our revenue, and of course, a lot has to do with the Keith's hard work and making sure we get every dime of federal money that we can squeeze out of what we spend, because it is on a reimbursement basis. We have to put it out there and apply for the funds on a quarterly basis and get reimbursed. What it came down to is that we, in a lot of these categories, we were over, but we were under in a lot, and we ended up being right about where we were supposed to be. We saved as best we could on professional services. We did all right on our operating contract. This was prior to there was no increase last year in the operating contract. We now this year, October, we've experienced a 4.5 increase as previously approved, but but there was nothing in this one. The RTC intercity obviously went down significantly with the change in service that occurred at the beginning of January. So we saved a good bit of money on that. The next line, the DART 5307 pass through, that just came in as a $65,571 and the same out. That should actually be in Campo. It's a wash here, but it's a Campo function. It'll show up in Campo next year. Where we spent a lot of money was over estimate was the vehicle repair and maintenance. As you may recall, we were waiting for those new buses to arrive, and we ended up incurring a lot of costs to keep the other ones running while we're waiting for the new ones to arrive. As I previously shared with you, the vehicle fuel and oil was over by 17%, but relatively speaking, with the way that fuel has been, we're lucky that it was pretty much only 17%. Small furnishings, this is the way the city calculates. Small furnishings includes anything under $5,000 each, so this includes things like five bus shelters. That was the majority of the cost there. Telephone went over because it turns out that there was a bill that we hadn't been paying for some time. We had to make some back payments and get where we're supposed to be. We took care of that. The general fund, obviously fleet management ended up where it was supposed to be. And that line on the bottom was the surprise that just arrived a few weeks ago. There was a realization of something that hadn't been budgeted previously that rightfully should have been in there as the city was being audited, frankly. What happens is that we do our work and we're paid out of certain funds, but since we're not being paid out of the transit fund, when we get those reimbursements from the federal government for our time, staff time, those funds need to be put back rightfully to the fund that we were paid out of. So, and that was an oversight previously that has now been corrected, but that was a new $54,000 hit to the transit fund that appeared 3 weeks ago. So, in the end, we had previously told you that we expected that we were going to have a net loss of $24,000. We ended up with a net loss of just under $19,000, even with that $54,000 hit. So, in the end, we ended up right about where we told you we were going to be. We still have a remaining fund balance, as you can see, but now in the current fiscal year, we are getting less from the general fund, $300,000. We do have an increase in our operating contract, which is 4.5% on an hourly basis, which was the first we've experienced in years, but it will hit our budget. And now we will, on a continuing basis, be returning those reimbursement funds to where they rightfully should be. So we will be seeing a continued decline in the fund balance of the transit system at a more rapid pace in the current fiscal year.
Okay, who's burning up the phone lines?
No. Turns out it was an old bill. I don't know if Keith, you want to explain that one? I don't know if he found one that hadn't been paid or something.
Which is a big one.
Somebody else had been paying it for us, I think.
Keith Pearson, transit coordinator. Actually, 841 ride was actually being paid for by MV, and we actually had to assume that, which was more recently. But also, I guess the way that the phones were being broken down were not correct, was my understanding of it. Not allocated correctly.
Okay.
Those darn auditors.
Okay. Thanks, Keith.
Make us pay our bills.
All right. Well, $18,000 loss. That most systems have to be heavily subsidized. That's not bad under the circumstances. It's relatively good. Charles.
Patrick, I just wanted to ask, how far back is the that grant allocation for salaries go? Is this 1 year, 5 years?
That was just for this year. That was that was how much we had recovered during that fiscal year that was then returned to, in this case, the RTC fund. It shows out as an actual cost here. It shows as an end to the RTC fund now.
And on, for this fiscal year, hopefully the fuel costs, the way they're going, and I just noticed, the cost per barrel of oil went down $3 today, so gas is going to go down even further. So that's all looking good.
We'll take anything we can get, but we are still investigating the possibility of having a transit mechanic who would be dedicated to working on our buses to make sure that we could keep, because obviously we all understand the fire trucks and sheriff's cars need to be repaired and on the road, but we also want to make sure our buses are on the road to provide service. And but we all have to work that into, you know, if we incur a greater, yeah, a future budget, if we incur a greater cost to a, for a mechanic, we would expect a reduction in the other maintenance costs here. And then on top of that, we have had some recent bus stop related complaints that could potentially be paid for, with RTC funds, and we are doing a lot of sidewalk projects around the city. But if we can use transit funds for those improvements, the ADA related improvements, we can recover 80% to 90% federally for those improvements. So it behooves us to use leverage those funds by having by crediting them to the fact that, you know, for example, that gentleman at airport in Woodside, you know, said I need to get to my transit stop and I can't get there, and indeed we are fixing the sidewalk, but it's to facilitate him getting to the transit stop, and it's within spitting distance, so we're calling that a transit expense, and it's cost about $10,000, but depending on which fund we use, we have a choice, 80% or 90% reimbursement, so that'll be a slight additional cost, but it's definitely worth it to leverage those funds.
Terrific. Russ?
Patrick, the mechanic for the buses, is that something that we can get company that provides us with the drivers? Can we get that on contract as an outsourced?
We actually had previously had experience with the contractor doing maintenance, and we specifically moved away from that. John Ando didn't, I won't go into all the dirty details, but their previous and now only partial contractor is being removed from that position because of maintenance issues. And in my career, that has most often been the case that for a conflict between the operator and the city or the county, whoever it may be, because the vehicles are owned by the city, and the city wants the vehicles repaired and kept in good maintenance. The operator, it behooves them to do as little maintenance as possible. And there, that ends up being the greatest point of conflict, and we feel much more what's the word, secure with our own mechanics and their capabilities to maintain as part of the rest of the city fleet, and to remove that primary point of conflict with the operator. And as John Ando is aware, that's there's somebody that's losing a multi-million-dollar annual contract over specifically that issue. Currently, and it's not something we'd like to go down the road with.
Patrick, I mean, I think it would behoove them to keep the vehicles in good operating condition. What is the theory behind letting them?
The less money they spend on it, the more they put in their pocket.
Yes, generally speaking, this is
not. I would think so. The contract was written for a fixed amount, regardless of how much they spent. It wasn't T&M.
Well,
time and material.
Maintenance. Yeah, they okay. Get a, usually contractors get a certain amount just to maintain the vehicles. So if they can change the oil every 10,000 miles instead of every 3,000 miles and get away with it, and even if it has a shorter lifespan, that's not on the operators to provide the vehicles. So the city ends up purchasing additional vehicles. Now, not all operators do that, but it has certainly been a bone of contention in many places, and now John Ando is living with it.
And so you don't think T&M, doing it on a T&M basis, would be an appropriate substitute method?
No.
You wouldn't have any control of those costs at that point.
You program it a not to exceed amount, but you reimburse them based on actual time and material spent. I don't know.
I can see all kinds of issues that popping up as a result of that.
So the recommendation, it certainly wouldn't require a full-time mechanic.
Well, if not full time, it's very close. We're talking about 12 vehicles, and not only maintaining them on a preventive maintenance thing, but if someone needs to go have bike racks installed, or drop down chains, or get it to Ford for warranty service, and it I don't know if we're at the full time point right now, or we're very close. We're very close, and we have restrictions. We have space restrictions as well, and we have manpower restrictions. Because we have, as Andy knows very well, we have the same size facility and number of people as we did when we had much fewer vehicles. And since then, we've added the buses to that. And if we have the ability to hire a person, and this will all come back to you when we actually get to that point, the cost of that person's salary and benefits would all be covered 80% with federal funds as a maintenance of a capital
facility as in the bus.
Can't we get that same kind of coverage from if Carson City were to, or RTC were to contract a mechanic and have him on contract? Could we get that same kind of funding from the feds?
Yeah, we could. We could. It doesn't matter who is doing it. That doesn't affect the funding portion of it.
Well, obviously we're talking about roll-up costs. We're trying to avoid, and I would think if you could maybe even give him a modest retainer, so if he's a private mechanic, to give our vehicles first priority when they come into the shop. I mean, that might be a way of approaching it. I don't know if that's ever done, and Harvey is chortling over there.
So well, as Andy said, there'd be a whole lot of issues of...
Yeah, we're not bringing this to you now.
No, it's just something we're exploring. We're a little off topic, but anyway, we're exploring some possibilities.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's something we're exploring.
They haven't failed by the police, right?
They are Fords.
They are Fords, and...
Fix or repair daily.
And...
Down on the road,
and if it does, when they do require warranty service, they are serviced right here in Carson City.
Right.
So local benefit.
I certainly would like to encourage you to look at having a private party on contract with the city to provide that kind of service, rather than look into having the city hire somebody, take them on staff. Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? This is informational only. This is a little off topic, but how did we do since we canvassed the vote earlier today at 12 noon? Did anybody take advantage of the free rides on November 4th?
Have you checked? Hey, Darcy, new operations manager. Do we have any actual numbers? And if you have an answer, come on up to the microphone, please. Whether or not they were going to the poll, they did get a free ride because there wasn't an easy way to separate if they were going to the poll or to Walmart.
Unless you were dropping them off at the polling place.
Well, there was a lot of free rides that day. Now, not all of them went near the polling places, but we probably did about 400 rides that day. And I'm probably going to guess here and say about 30%.
Is that right? So if Walmart had been on the ballot as a candidate for election, they'd won. They would have won, right?
Yeah, probably. Maybe that's quite a few youths that were.
Okay, thanks very much.
Kind of was.
All right. Next item, item G4, a revision to the RTC transportation program.
This is mine. This is going to end up being kind of an interim work plan as we there's a number of unknown items yet which I'll go through, but you adopted the program back in February last year, and this is just going to amend the current program and bring it forward. So we've tried to push it out 5 years so you can start seeing what's happening over a little longer period of time. I indicate in there that our revenues have stabilized. I actually took a look at revenues today with Nick Providente, and revenues are down a little bit, and RTC are down about $20,000 over what we anticipated at this time of year, which isn't too bad. I mean, in comparison to what we look in the economy, it's actually looking up, I suppose, in that sense. But we're going to want to watch the revenues pretty closely. Streets is down a tiny bit more than that. But it's, and now we're starting to look at our RTC and streets program somewhat combined because one affects the other at this point. A couple of significant issues. One, we haven't finished negotiations with NDOT yet in relation to the $15 million phase two freeway costs of trying to reduce those costs to us. But it looks promising that'll happen. Additionally, in the last month, we've been contacted by a number of agencies in the federal government looking towards a federal public works stimulus package, and potentially having some of our projects maybe be eligible for a federal stimulus package. What the federal government's looking for is projects that are designed and ready to go to bid very quickly. And we have a number of those projects that are sitting there ready to go to bid, and as a result, we might be able to harvest some money from that program. Don't know what that means yet. There's potentially even a bill coming out next week. If not, there's going to be a bill certainly in January, it looks like, at this point, based on our discussions with our legislators. So don't know if they're going to have a required match program with that. Don't know any of the rules that I mean, it's very much in a state of process at this point. But NDOT is looking at that for the phase two of the freeway. And they have some promise that they would hope to be able to be in the same position to be able to fund that through the stimulus package, the next phase. If that happens, then that changes our negotiations with NDOT as well related to the $15 million. So all of that is kind of in flux and will kind of get fleshed out over the next couple months, it looks like to me at this point. So I think we'll need to bring this program back to you again in January and modify it again at this point. But this will get us moving forward at this point. We've updated the project numbers. We've included within this the $9 million in bonding that we did earlier this year. In the last program, we anticipated another bond in 2010-2011 for about $7.5 million. We have not included that at this point because we are still in a flux as to how much money we are going to have as revenues coming in. Part of the negotiations with NDOT is that we will receive a fair amount of money for offsetting costs that they will be giving to us basically as a part of it. That might be part of the and could delay us needing to go to a bond, for instance, using those funds now versus using other funds later. So we haven't included those at this point. We reduced the allocation for street signals to every other year, rather than we've always placed a hold for about $350,000 for every year, but the reality is we've only been spending that about every other year because we've been including a signal within the big projects, for instance, like the Clearview project or the Stewart project. Those have signals within them, so we don't need to budget additional signals on top of that. So
Andy, the $350,000 that's allocated in FY 09 and 10, that would, I assume, be for Eagle Station Lane?
Correct.
If we get exactly. Past NDOT? And
yeah, if that moves forward, then we'd have funding available for
and
that.
And then possibly in FY 11, 12, Silver Oak? I mean,
correct.
That warrants.
Well, and Silver Oak, we doubt that we would do a signal at that point. It's not going to meet warrants, but we'll get the intersection. I did include the intersection work itself right. To get that done.
But you don't think it'll meet warrants by that date?
Sure. No, okay. I don't think it will be.
Those out years.
Okay.
One of those out years could be.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, one of those out years could be yeah. Could be that signal. But I did include the cost for the roadway itself in the current year.
And Andy, I'm assuming that payments to NDOT are still suspended, right?
Correct.
The gas tax. Okay.
That's correct. They're suspended currently until next July, and we anticipate that we'll have an agreement before then to suspend those even further or whatever, however we end up.
Forgive the $5 million altogether, possibly?
It looks like we're certainly going to get rid of the $5
million,
and the $10 million, we're working on it now. So if we can get rid of the whole thing, that's the goal at this point.
Okay. Sounds good.
We reduced the allocation a little bit to the pedestrian bicycle projects just because we've been able to get grants for some of that. And Patrick talked a little bit about using the federal funds for that. It was just being able to reduce our cost there some. We've included moving forward with obviously Stewart Street's out to bid. Bids open next week on Stewart Street. We'll be bringing an agreement with the high school to the next meeting with the bid award for that. We'll be at the high school board meeting before that, but that looks like that's coming together. And then we're recommending that, and included in here is funding to move forward with the next phase of Curry Street design and the South Carson Street design. There's a lot of, and we'll do a presentation next month related to those designs, and we've also included monies for moving forward with the Roop Street, the second phase of Roop Street, and the third phase of Roop Street, because those are both projects to move forward with, to get started getting the design processes done, because obviously the right-of-way then takes another year on top of that. So we need to get out ahead of it with design in order to get to the right-of-way, in order to have that available to be constructed in 3 or 4 years from now, kind of thing.
Have we reopened negotiations with the Forest Service?
We have not yet, but we will as a part of the design. And they're looking at they'll do a presentation related to some of the design elements next month for you that they're going to be considering which will affect some of the negotiations with the Forest Service.
Okay.
So with that, I mean, our recommendation is to move forward with the adoption of this kind of as an interim process, and then from there we'll be really be back with kind of a formal program, more formal program, looking at all the projects, because we left a number of projects unfunded for the time being until we know where we are with the large dollars related to Roop Street or what's going to happen with NDOT, what's going to happen with the federal government bailout. So,
okay. Andy, the and maybe Patrick, I should address this question to you. We've delayed any funding for the Gateway projects until FY 10-11. At some point, we need to get out in the field and identify some right of way. I mean, some areas where we can legally locate these gateways.
Yeah, just settle that.
Yeah, and actually, because of our relative inaction and the fact that Harvey is still working on Fairview and now Curry and Stewart, and there's not a whole lot of end site there, we've actually assigned a different engineer, Tom Grundy, who's been doing a lot of our park-related projects. He's an engineer and project manager on a lot of those projects. We've assigned him to do that now, so we will be kickstarting that back again.
But the funding that we've received through NDOT is not in jeopardy.
No, there's no jeopardy there.
Okay. All right, Russ. Goes to you, Charles.
Andy, I wanted to maybe elaborate, although this is probably guessing, on what a public works stimulus package may entail. And I've also, you know, heard a lot of different things. I just whispered to Russ, it sounds like the 30s WPA project, which my own dad participated in and talked very highly about it. And in fact, we went camping at some of his projects as I grew up. I would think that we're talking about something rather maybe labor intensive.
The concepts that we've been listening to from our representatives in Washington, D.C. are any project that you can get out to bid within like 60 to 90 days that is a public works type project, streets, water, sewer kinds of projects, then those are of interest to Congress, because it puts people to work very quickly. What they're not as interested in is starting a design and a year from now or a year and a half from now, start, you know, and going through a long process to get a project out. It's really only those kinds of projects and the ones that we've been feeding them, things that we have available to get out to bid right away. Curry Street, for instance, it's designed and ready to go, and one of the concerns about Curry Street is we have funding for the RTC portion. We're still trying to find all the funding for the component, the stormwater component of that project. And we've met with our financial advisors today. It looks like if we don't get a stimulus package, we'll probably end up having to do a bond in order to fund that portion of it, which we would do fairly quickly early next year. So we've kind of delayed Curry Street a little bit because we're ready to go to bid on it, but I've suggested we not go to bid until we make sure that we have, one, the funding in place for the stormwater portion. Otherwise, RTC has to fund that, and that's another couple million dollars that it affects projects for us on down the road a little ways. So if we can, and then additionally, Campani, who was a little bit of the driver towards the time frame, doesn't appear that he's going to start his project until early next year. So we have a few months that we can work with in order to make that project work and find the funds for it. But in the 70s, they did a public works program, and it was about a 10% match for city, counties, local governments related to projects. We did the juvenile detention center here in the 70s as a result of that program back then. So we'll see. I mean, we may not be able to be successful in any of it, but we don't even know what the program's going to look like yet.
Would Root Street fall under this, since we have design, I think, pretty well ready and may need to be updated a little bit?
The part of Root Street might. The issue is that we don't have as much of the right-of-way. We still have a number of parcels of right-of-way to go forward with that. We've got the Fuji Park frontage improvements. That's designed and ready to go. We've got Lompa Lane that's designed and ready to go. Mm-hmm. We've got some wastewater projects within the city that are designed and ready to go. We have some parks projects that are designed and ready to go, and all waiting for funding in one fashion or another. I mean, we could put together $20 or $30 million in a 30-day kind of period to get out to bid if we knew we had the funds. So, and that's the kind of numbers we've provided to our congressional folks so far.
Okay, thank you. Is that it, Charles? Any other comments or questions? All righty. Someone like to make a motion to approve? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Well, I don't think the field has changed much. Any member of the public wishing to comment on this item? Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. Okay, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the RTC Transportation Improvement Program for fiscal year 2008, 2009 through 2013, 2014.
Thank you. We have a second. Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Moving on to item H1. Harvey.
I'll be open to any questions, but I'll give you a highlight. Fairview Drive, pretty much from the freeway to Rube Street. Contractor asked for substantial compliance, and the streetlights are supposed to be turned on tomorrow. On Fairview Drive, widening from Roop up to California, that's they're supposed to pulverize and complete that one within about another 2.5 weeks. Pulverization will probably start Monday. Fairview Drive is, for all practical purposes, open to the public. We have a small punch list, and they're finishing striping tonight at 8 o'clock. Appian Way, we got a pre-construction meeting tomorrow. And like Andy said, the bid opening for Stewart Street happens November 20th, and we'll be back here at the 10th asking your award of contract.
Okay. Harvey, on the Appian Way project, we need to adjust the grant funding portion. I mean, it's developer funded, but as a result of an action we took recently, their contribution has increased. Do we need to amend that to reflect the latest division of
cost? Yeah, we'll get that done for
next time. Okay.
Next time.
And then I was wondering on the Gonai Road Arrowhead to South Sutra Terrace project in Fifth Street. It says the project is to provide a walkway on the east side of Gonai Road. I noticed in the previous action that we took, it was the west side of Gonai Road. Oh, darn, I was hoping we were getting sidewalk on both sides. I was hoping that wasn't a typo. Okay.
The plan submitted only identified west side on that and north side on Fifth Street.
Okay, so it is the west side, not the east side. Okay.
I just want to mention one thing. I don't think we have this one in here. The paths from the roundabout north and west, that's not in here, is it? Because that was a parks-funded project. I'll just mention that anyway.
Right.
We used rec trail money. It was actually Vern Cron went out and got rec trail money, but one of our engineers is the project manager for it. They're finishing right now a project from the roundabout to the north and roundabout to the west, a nice 12-foot wide asphalt path that will connect with that Fifth Street project. And we'll also connect with the paths with the freeway. It also provides a connection from Hellsbells Road directly north to the neighborhood, and a very small transitional piece to connect with the west side of the freeway bike path along with the east end of what is now the linear ditch path. So we're getting all the pieces put in place.
Great. Okay. Good. Any other questions regarding the latest status report? If not, we'll move on to the next item, item H2. Any comments regarding any of the Public Works Street Operations status report projects? Any comments or questions by members of the public? This is also a non-action item. All right.
I guess the big issue is we're ready for winter. We've created a salt and cinder mixing pad, and we have all the supplies on hand. Some snow plows are being hooked up, so we're praying for snow at this point.
All right. Sounds good. You are and you aren't. Okay. Moving on to the last item of the evening, item H3, report on request for ADA accommodation. Patrick.
I mentioned this at a previous meeting, but following the RTC and Board of Supervisor adopted policy, the gentleman completed the form that's on the back about Airport Road after previously calling NDOT, thinking it was their road, and NDOT thought so too for a little while. But I prepared this report regarding the nature of the requests, our evaluation of the conditions, and our proposed correction of the problem, and I'm happy to report that our crews went out immediately and addressed one of the problems, which was a heaved sidewalk that prevented the gentleman from reaching a bus stop and a retail establishment. They knocked that out quick, put in a very, very small asphalt patch for a temporary fix for that problem. We pursued a very small contract to get actual concrete put on that small patch and to install three corner ramps. We got it for less than $10,000, and we are using transit funds to do that because he specifically noted the inability to access his transit stops. And I'm proud to say the work started on Monday. They broke out all the old stuff. Today they poured concrete. So the patch between him and the bus stop in 7-Eleven was poured today, along with the curb lines on the other three ramps, and keep our fingers crossed they'll be done on Friday.
Great, super, good work. All right. Any comments or questions by members of the commission? Any comments or questions by members of the audience? I see Dee Dee has just arrived. Dee Dee, did you wish to say something? Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good.
I just want to commend the bus system for the wonderful work they're doing in trying to make sure that ADA is met for all of my wonderful consumers who are out there. And I just want to say that they have really gone the extra mile, and I am very proud to say we have a great bus system, and we're working hard to try and make it everything it could be. And everything it already is.
Terrific.
And he's just been doing a really, really wonderful job in making sure that ADA is in compliance with the transportation system.
And Dee Dee, your name for the record?
Dee Dee Foremaster. Okay. I'm with the Rural Center for Independent Living and do drop in.
Terrific. Dee Dee, thanks very much. It's
thanks
nice
so
to receive
much.
Positive feedback. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments by members of the audience? Yes.
I forgot to mention this, but the traffic calming devices you wanted are in hand, the speed table, which we're going to try and assemble partially in the yard before we take it public.
This is South Division?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other radar speed signs, they're in. The footings for the signs have been drilled. It's a matter of our technicians getting caught up on how to program them, get them. Probably they'll be in by December 1st, both mm-hmm. or soon thereafter.
And are we going to meet with the folks in the neighborhood to determine kind of collectively where they should be placed?
We previously met with them.
Okay, good.
And determined where they're going to be placed.
Terrific. Great. Well, that's good news. Thank you, Harvey. That's wonderful. Russ.
Thank you. I happened to stumble across a location for where those street signs are that are actually radar speed signs, and that's at Kings Beach. They have a couple of those there in Kings Beach, so next time you're in Kings Beach, be sure and look for them. They're about the size of a street sign, and the numbers change as you're driving by them. They're not three digits, though. I know that.
You know that.
How would you know?
What happens when you hit 100? Russ, tell us. We know what kind of car you drive.
and
if I may, as long as we're on the subject, I'm working with Mr. Dan Allison, who was here at a previous meeting, the Safe Routes School Coordinator, and the school district is going to be watching us to see how those signs work as well, because they may very well be interested in having some installed on their dime near school locations in the city as well.
Good. Terrific. So how long will we be collecting data to determine the effectiveness of these speed calming devices?
Yeah, we'll start. I mean, we'll start collecting it as soon as they
long?
Go up.
6 months?
No, I don't
months?
Think we need that long.
3 months?
Yeah, I'll give it a couple months, but I don't think we need 6 months.
Weeks. Okay.
It's going to be dependent upon, I forget how long the life of the batteries is, but the first one we probably have after about 2 weeks of operation, if I remember.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait for batteries.
Okay. That's right. Mike, I like the signs.
They're rechargeable. You swap them on.
We have a technician.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good news. Thank you very much. Item H4, future agenda items.
Well, the big one in December will be the Stewart Street along with the school district agreement.
Right.
Right? And then you have something from Manhard.
Yeah, and then we'll have a contract with Manhard on Roop Street and Curry Street.
Okay.
Okay. What else? All
right. Hopefully at some point we'll get more to you from NDOT. You know, in regards to a relinquishment of those east side roads, and we're still working on that.
There's no great hurry.
No.
No, if they want to keep maintaining them, well.
We just want to be done before next July, when we have to start paying that payment again.
That's exactly. Well, if they haven't deeded them over by then, well, I don't know. It would be nice to maintain the status quo for a while.
Yeah.
Are we likely to have a CAMPO meeting next month?
Yes, we will definitely have a CAMPO meeting. We have... I had one item that I actually could have brought, but it didn't justify having a meeting. It's for the we previously, at the October meeting, had you approve an agreement to extend the funds that were available to us, federal funds, because they were set to expire. We extended them, but unfortunately, because it was October 8th, we would have lost 8 days of federal funding. So now we have to bring it back to you again to make sure we get those 8 days in October. But we will also have information from a first meeting of a work group, just a citizens meeting for a advisory work group for the transit development plan. We're getting together tomorrow with some folks from the community, interested parties that are frequent consumers of transit service, to discuss transit with them, and we'll give you a progress report on that study.
Terrific! Great! Wonderful! Any comments by members of the audience? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
Any opposed? So moved. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, we want to hold.